Last week, we started a study talking about ending up at the destination that we intend to be at in regards to different areas of our lives and how do we get there. And a lot of the study, as I said last week, is going to come from the book of Proverbs. So that's where we're going to be heading back to again this morning, is the book of Proverbs. In last week, I hope that we established the principle of that quote from Andy Stanley, which is, your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Right? We talked about we can have the greatest intentions of being financially successful, but if we don't make decisions that are going to get us there, if we don't walk down a path that's going to get us there, we're not going to end up there. We have the greatest intentions of growing in our faith in Jesus Christ, but if we don't do anything to actually grow in our faith in Jesus Christ, if we don't walk down a path that allows for that, we're not going to end up there. So I hope that we established that principle last week. It really isn't rocket science for most of us, especially in regards to the geographic kind of, if I'm leaving from here and wanting to go there, I got to go down this path, this road. But I don't think it's also rocket science in regards to all the other aspects of life. It's a pretty simple principle at the end of the day. Now I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. It's going to be page 449. And I just want us to spend a moment in Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs. We talked about that last week as well. And he tells us the reason for the Proverbs in these first opening scriptures here, verses. So we're going to read starting at verse 2. And this is the reason for the book of Proverbs, right? For attaining wisdom and discipline. For understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. And that's where we'll stop. In this section of passages, a word that appears twice in different forms, but it's the same word appears twice. And as you can see, as you read through it, it's found in verse 3 and verse 4. For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. And then down in verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple. So this word prudent or prudence is presented twice here. And the word prudent means really three things. It means knowing what to do, exercising good judgment, and having common sense. In the 21st century, we don't use this word very much. It's not a word that's a part of our normal vocabulary for most of us. But Solomon uses it a lot. The book of Proverbs uses it a lot. In fact, Solomon compares and contrasts prudent people with a second kind of people. Simple people. Just a piece of advice. Whatever you do, whatever you are, you probably don't want to be labeled a simple person in regards to how this is being played out. Though we in the Brethren in Christ believe in living simplistically, right? We're going to get into what simple person means here in regards to how Solomon uses it. Because other translations, instead of saying prudent and simple, they would use the words wise and foolish. All right? So later in Proverbs, Solomon says, this is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25, flog a mocker, and the simple, foolish, will learn prudence. Rebuke a discerning man, prudent man, and he will gain knowledge. In other words, some people learn by verbal instruction, right? A friend points something out to you and says, this is something that maybe you should be doing differently, and you learn from that conversation. You make direction changes as a result of that conversation. Other people, simple people, have to be whipped or beaten in order to be able to figure out that they need to change the direction they're going. We probably all know somebody who falls into that category of having to attend the school of hard knocks in life. That's just how they learn. Looking from the outside at a situation, you and I can predict what will happen and that it's not going to be an easy path for that person. They may even be able to look and think that this isn't the best path to travel down. But they continue down that path regardless. And only learn once they kind of hit that rock bottom, right? Once they experience that difficulty at the end of that path. Once facing the negative consequences of their actions or their decision. Another way this word simple is used in Scripture is to refer to a childlike refusal to see the truth or to obey authority. That's why sometimes the simple people are being referred to as the simple people need some type of painful lesson to associate right from wrong. I remember as a child growing up, there was one or two times in my life, and we'll time that by dozens, where I made foolish, simple, go as far as saying stupid decisions, and I ended up getting a spanking to remind me not to make those same decisions again. It helped to get the important rule across. It helped me understand that if I was going to be disobedient, that there's going to be consequences for that disobedience. If your child refuses to listen to you and keeps running towards the wood chipper that's running and wanting to play inside of it, right? You don't have a coaching session with that child. Or you set them in timeout. No, you don't ask that child to sit down and journal about their desire to play with the running wood chipper. No, in order to help that child, you probably got to give them a few swats on the backside and help them learn that there's danger there and that there's consequences for disobedience. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16, Solomon says, "A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." Simple people let their emotions get the best of them. A simple person flies into rage at any perceived lack of respect. They get mad and go into rage. They spout off and they complain when things don't go their way. But prudent people know how to control themselves and take things in stride. Just one more in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. It says, "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps." Simple people get fooled easily. Prudent people use their brains. If we master prudence, if we improve our ability to be more prudent, life becomes a lot easier for us. So here's the main verse for today, as we're getting back to this whole thing about direction and intention and destination, right? It comes from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. If you're using one of the church Bibles, turn there. It's going to be page 468. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. Here's what we find there. "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." Prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now listen, I want you to turn back in your Bibles just five chapters to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. I'll read it for you too. Here's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Sound familiar? The exact same verse. I like how it's written in the Message. You'll notice that in your bulletin, in the very bottom of the bulletin, it says, a prudent person sees trouble coming and ducks. A simpleton walks in blindly and is clobbered. That kind of gives you a little bit more of a visual of it, right? I'd like to see the YouTube video of that verse. So it's the exact same proverb in two places. I'm going to have to guess that that means kind of that maybe it matters a little bit, this whole concept and idea. Perhaps God put this proverb in the Bible twice because he thinks it's doubly important that we learn this lesson. Simple people need to be flogged to learn lessons, while prudent people just need a word. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty for it. Last week we learned that our paths or our direction is of the utmost importance to us if we want to end up at our destination. If that's true, we need to ask this question. How do you choose the right path? How do you figure out what path you should be on? Or in some cases, how do we figure out what path to get off of? This proverb is telling us the primary difference between the prudent and the simple is not what they see, but how they respond to what they see. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple see danger and just keep on going. Both of them see danger. One responds by changing the course, by going down a different path, by heading in a different direction. And the other keeps going and hopes that the danger will never arrive. It's like the ostrich, right, that sticks its head in the sand. And when it does that, it's thinking, if you can't see me, I can't see you. If I can ignore what I know is out there, then it can't hurt me because its head's in the sand, so it can't see anything. That's the simpleton. You can see why Solomon calls these people simple. Or, in other translations, foolish. So how do we choose the right direction? I think the first piece to that is the prudent make course corrections along the way. The prudent make course corrections along the way. I came across an article this week as I was just looking into this idea of us as human beings and facing warnings that should cause us to have direction changes in our lives, and why we sometimes choose not to do that. And this article, I just want to share with you a little bit of the beginning of this article. I found it interesting. It goes back into the early 2000s. It says, in January 2002, a lone man predicted a natural disaster that would impact the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. A local expert had been studying a volcano in Congo for 15 years without pay. Good hobby, I guess, right? He tracked the activity for signs of change. Although his equipment had been stolen and vandalized over the years, he persisted at his work. Then he saw it. Based on the patterns witnessed, he knew that it was about to blow. There had been a series of tremors and earthquakes in the months before. Black smoke rose from the mountain. The lava pool inside the crater had shifted and was getting higher. But these weren't the first signs. 2 years earlier, he witnessed the eruption of a smaller volcano. Since the two volcanoes were connected, he predicted that it was only a matter of time before this other one would erupt, this bigger one. On January the 6th, he sent out an email to the international authorities alerting them of the situation. In response, the United Nations agreed to fund a survey team to take readings. He also warned residents in the local newspaper that an eruption was coming. He had observed that there was 10 times more lava in the volcano crater now than in 1977, when it erupted and killed hundreds of people. After a few earthquakes earlier in the month, he predicted that the eruption was only days away, and he was right. On January 17, 2002, the volcano erupted, pouring down three lava rivers and destroying 14 villages. Over the next few days, the lava made its way through the city. Unfortunately, many people neither received the news of the eruption or chose to ignore the news of it. Tens of thousands of people were left homeless, and 400,000 were evacuated, and many died. Ignoring warnings can be devastating and have devastating consequences. I put the question out on social media this week, what warning signs have you seen in your life that maybe you have chosen to ignore and have had to face the consequences of? And how do you determine kind of what warning or what is a warning sign, right? And some of the responses I got were kind of interesting. Some said it's kind of that gut feeling. You have that gut feeling in you that this is not the right path to be heading down. Sometimes it's something that they've learned from mistakes or failures in the past that would lead us to say, okay, this road didn't lead the right direction the first time. It's probably not going to the second time. Sometimes it's the words of other people that you know, trust, and love, and respect. Sometimes it's guidance that's found in Scripture that might be that warning for us. Sometimes it's that little internal voice called the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Sometimes warnings come from people that have performed research, like this guy did for 15 years. Warning signs come in so many varieties. We need to be intentional about looking for and adjusting. That's the key. Not just looking for, but adjusting our path or our direction when warning signs present themselves. That's what prudent people do. Secondly, the simple keep right on going is the second thing that we need to understand here. The prudent people will make the course corrections. The simple people just keep on going. In our volcano story, the authorities didn't take the warning serious enough to do anything quickly about it. Many people lost their homes because they didn't take the warning seriously enough. Many people lost their lives because they didn't take the warning seriously enough. Their homes probably would have been destroyed either way. But lives could have been saved. The second half of the proverb says, the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The penalty for what? For refusing to act on what they see. They pay the penalty because they see no connection between the choices of today and the experiences of tomorrow. They overlook the fact that every path has a destination that we're going to have to face, that we're going to have to live with. The simple can't see past their immediate wants and desires to consider where that road that they are choosing will lead them to. And even if they initially choose the wrong road and realize that it's the wrong road, they keep going while ignoring all the signs. While ignoring the sign that says that the bridge is out ahead on the road, right? And they just keep on driving and they end up plummeting hundreds of feet to their death. That's the simple. Most of us are thinking, well, I'm not a fool. I'm not one of the simple. I'm 45 years old, right? I've experienced a lot in my life. I'm certainly not going to make these kind of decisions. wrong. Our age doesn't matter here. Doesn't matter whether you're 10 years old, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 75. If you see a problem in your future because of the path that you're on or the direction that you're going in, you need to get off that path. You need to change your direction. If you don't, Scripture says that we're simple. It's a foolish decision. For those of us that are parents, I think this is especially important as we raise our children, right? We have to be proactive as parents. We correct what we see is a problem in our children's lives because hopefully we're a little bit more prudent than they are because we've experienced a little bit more of life. If you don't take those steps and correct those things, if you prefer the non-confrontational way of parenting, and just hope for the best, that plan's going to bite us. Our children, it's going to bite them hard in the future. This concept, this idea, it matters in every aspect of our lives. It matters in our education. It matters in our careers. It matters in our relationships. It matters in our faith. It matters in every aspect of our lives. So here's the big question. How do we choose the right path? I think that this is the key. Prudent people know that it's not what they see that makes a difference. It's what they do. So they do things. They make course corrections. That's doing something. To make a course correction, you have to do something. You have to take a step. You take action. You step off of a path and you get onto a new path. And that can be scary at times because oftentimes it creates uncertainty again. It's almost always hard because I think we're creatures of habit a lot of times. We're creatures of momentum, and in a large part, we're creatures of comfort. And there's comfort in knowing where we are right now as opposed to the uncertainty of stepping into a new path. New direction. We naturally continue to do what we've always done. How many times have you heard the saying or the question, why do we do this? Because we've always done it that way. That's our default mode. If we're used to overeating, overeating feels natural to us. If we're used to losing our temper, losing our temper feels like it's okay to us. We don't see a problem with it. If we're used to being on online chat rooms or in inappropriate relationships, we begin to feel like that's an okay thing. Just simple momentum carries us in the same direction. So to change directions means that you must always give up something. When we see danger, it almost always requires sacrifice, which is why we don't do it. It's a terrible truth of the human condition, isn't it? We love the very things that are killing us inside sometimes. That's the true danger here. Temptation would be 100% unsuccessful, I think, at actually getting a hold of our lives if it wasn't attractive to us. So often, temptation gives the appearance of being attractive to us. as people, at least in the immediate. And that's what draws us in. However, if you act prudently and change courses, you may be the one left standing at the end of the day. We all remember the story of the three little pigs, right? Real simple story. One builds his house of straw. The other builds his house of sticks. And big bad wolf comes along and he huffs and he puffs and he blows the houses down. And then after all, using straw and sticks, it's just not going to hold up to anything. Solomon would call those two pigs simple pigs, right? They chose the easy way, the foolish way. The third pig, that was the prudent little piggy. He built his house out of bricks because he knew that there was a wolf that was lurking about and saw danger coming, and he built a refuge to withstand that danger. We all know that life is going to bring us challenges. Everybody sitting in here knows that. We've all lived life long enough to know that there's going to be challenges. We've got to be like that third little piggy. Knowing that there's going to be challenges, we need a refuge in Jesus Christ. I think that this idea from Proverbs is just so vitally important for us today. Because we see danger all around us. Every day. And if you're prudent, you'll be prepared for it. My prayer for each one of us today is that we don't waste another moment, another minute on a path that leads us to where we don't want to go. The application this morning is really just some self-examination. I would encourage you to take a little bit of time this week and just reflect and redirect areas of your life. Take some time to make some course corrections if they are necessary. List out in your life big, important pieces to your life and where you want to end up, what the destination is for those. Career-wise, what's the destination? Where do you dream of being? Where do you sense God saying that you should be? Relationally, financially, educationally, spiritually. What's the destination? Where do you sense God saying that you should end up in this area of your life? Take some time and write down those big areas of life and the destination that you sense God saying, and then say, am I on the correct path to get there? Am I doing the right things to get to where I want to be? Because if you desire with all of your heart to have a job that requires a master's degree, but instead you choose to go to a trade school and learn HVAC or whatever else, automotive mechanics or whatever, you're not going to end up in that job that requires a master's degree. Vice versa. The guy that goes and gets the master's degree but wants to work in a trade is not going to end up in a trade with his master's degree because he doesn't know how to do what's required of him. He didn't take the right path and the right step to get to the goal. So just some self-evaluation this week. The prudency, danger, and take refuge. To get off the wrong path and they get back on the right path. They make course corrections. They don't just think about it or just worry about it or just wonder, why am I not getting to where I want to be in this area of my life? They actually do something about it. Spend time thinking, what do you need to do to end up where you think God wants you with your life? And then take action. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of being able to worship together as a family, as a church body. We are so grateful for this body that you've brought together, for how we can walk with each other through life and love each other through life. Lord God, we care about each other, and we care that we end up where it is that you desire for us to end up. So I would pray, Heavenly Father, for each person here today, either in person or online joining us, that as they spend some time seeking this week, where it is that you would have them aiming to be their destination in different areas of their lives, that then they would be willing to take the time to really map out that road, map out that path, those directions, so that they're able to achieve what they believe that you've laid on their heart. They're able to arrive at the destination that they believe that you have given to them. Lord God, we know that you wish the absolute best for each one of our lives. And being where you want us to be in life, there's no greater place. So help us, Lord God, as we go through this week and do some of this self-examination, that if changes need to be made, if we're going down the wrong path, the wrong road, that we'd recognize that and take the bold and scary steps to change it. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.